All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. Who has already opened a gift? I mean, like, couldn't wait till Christmas. You opened it today, yesterday, the day before. It's hard to wait, right? It's hard to wait. Have you already opened something you asked for? Yes? Mostly no's. Okay. All right. Hopefully you're feeling okay about that. It's hard, especially when we're younger, to wait for gifts. And I wanted to share with you a little bit of what I was reading. Some kids were writing to Santa. This young one wrote, "Dear Santa, if you are bringing presents with batteries, bring batteries." I love just like reminding Santa, like, if you're going to go through all the trouble, just bring the batteries with it. All right. Just a reminder. I appreciate that. "Dear Santa, I'm Jewish, but I really love you. Can you give me a present, though? If you don't know what I look like, I have dark brown hair, brown eyes. Please don't give me coal. Love you. And I'm 9 years old." I love that. I love that. As a fellow Jew, I actually had no shame celebrating both Hanukkah and Christmas. So you're okay on that one, buddy. This is an interesting list. Jackson made a Christmas list. Things like joggers, Nike stuff, BB guns, slingshots, knives, candy, iPhone, bearded dragon pig, Great Dane, chocolate Labrador, and new president here. I don't know. It's just like down the list. I don't. It's after chocolate Labrador and then new president, which I found interesting. "I really love how helpful this person is. Dear Santa, how are you? I'm good. Here's what I want for Christmas." And they wrote out the Amazon link. Not sure what that is there, but Santa is going to figure it out. Santa's going to figure it out. And finally, "Dear Santa, when it was Saturday, I thought I would try to be good the whole winter vacation, but it seems like I did not succeed. Will you still give me a present anyway? From Sophia, Merry Christmas." Merry Christmas. Oh, the agony of Christmas time. Being young, wanting things, feeling like, oh, I messed up, wondering if there's grace. You know, I had a really hard time waiting for Christmas when I was little. And some of you heard this story, but when one Christmas day, my dad actually, and I and my little brother had a plan. And we woke up very early in the morning, about 4 a.m. on Christmas morning. And my mom had been up late setting things up. And so he woke us up. We had this plan the day before. And we turned all the clocks forward. And so we turned the clocks forward to 8 o'clock. And then we set the alarms. And so right a little after 4 a.m., all the alarms started going off, but it said 8 on all the clocks. And we're like, "Mom, it's time to open presents." And she's like, "I feel like I just went to sleep." And she's wiping the sleep out of her eyes. And we had this whole thing planned. She's like, "It's awful dark outside." We went and opened all the gifts and then told her afterward that we had turned the clocks. And she was not happy. She went right back to bed. Anyway, it's hard to wait. Why? Why is it so hard to wait? Why? Why is this so difficult? When we want something, we get our hopes up for it, and we're seeing that it's right there waiting for us underneath that beautiful wrapping paper. It's hard to wait. It's not just hard to wait for gifts at Christmas or birthdays. Isn't it hard to wait in general? What is it hard for New Yorkers to wait for? It's hard to wait for the train, isn't it? Do you guys like or not like that in most of the stations now, they're putting up the times that you have to wait? Some love, some don't. Okay, all right, interesting. I guess it depends on if your train comes on time normally. I've been getting texts recently from one guy in the church, and he's been so happy about the one train in the last couple of weeks that he's been sending me pictures whenever it says 2 minutes to go. He says the last 5 times that I've dropped into the subway, the one train is only 2 minutes away, and he's like loving life. He's like, "I love the one train." Now, I've also gotten other kinds of texts of people confessing anger. No pictures of 20 minutes or 30 minute trains, but it can be quite frustrating if you're expecting a train to come and it doesn't, right? Yeah, we've all been there. What else? Waiting in line for things. grocery store. How about waiting for a table at a restaurant? You're like, that's why I called ahead to get a reservation and I'm still waiting in line? That doesn't make any sense. Waiting for a doctor, waiting for the bathroom. Perhaps there's someone in your household who likes to use the restroom for long periods of time. People are looking at each other. This is bad. We're getting into a bad place right now. Okay, all right. All right. Patience. Studies at a Statistic Brain Research Institute show that our attention spans are dropping every year and that we're getting more impatient as Americans all the time. The average attention span now of the adult to keep them in engaged is 8 seconds. So I've lost all of you. You're like, you're asleep. You're texting someone. You're writing down what you want for lunch. Okay. And actually, and a lot of people work in web design and websites and analytics here in the room. And, you know, a website loses about 10% of people every second their pages don't load. So if I have to wait a second for your page to load, I'm gone. Yep. Takes too long. I'll try somewhere else. That's how impatient we are. We hate to wait. The culture of impatience also can create an anxiety-filled environment that leads to anger, leads to rage. You ever see someone who doesn't like waiting in New York and it builds and builds and escalates until sometimes there's an explosion? Now, it's interesting because there's a whole lot of waiting in the Bible. And I think God did that on purpose to help us to learn from the good and bad examples in the Bible on how to wait, right? Remember Adam, right? Adam was the first guy, and he's sort of waiting around, and God's like, I'm going to give you a suitable helper. I'm going to give you someone, a best friend, a partner. It's going to be great. And Adam's like, cool. That'd be great. What does that mean? And then it says that the animals weren't suitable. So you imagine him like trying to hang out with the dog and just be like, I'm just feeling really low these days, and I feel like I need a little bit more support from you. Can you give me some more validation? And the dog's like, you know, it's like he's not getting all that he needs, right, from that relationship. And he goes through all, I don't know how many animals they went through, but he's waiting for that suitable helper. What about other examples like Noah, waiting for the flood to come because God said, rain's going to come, so I need you to build this ark. And he's out there for months, and he's waiting, and there's no, and people are like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm waiting for a flood. They're like, what's that? They never had one before. They didn't know what that water from the sky. Are you crazy? Yeah, I think I am, actually, but I'm crazy. I'm hoping that God's going to come through. I'm waiting. And then when the rain comes, and he gets in the boat, and they're on the boat for a long time. He's like, when's the rain gonna stop? Right. Guys, it rained the other day for like an hour. Yep. And people are like, when is it gonna stop? It's rain all the time. We get very impatient. Can you imagine 40 days of that? Right. 40 days, not 40 minutes, not 40 hours, 40 days. And then the rain stops. He's like, okay, cool, we get back to dry land. Nope, you gotta wait longer. Waiting, sending out birds. When the bird's going to come back? I'm waiting for that. It smells on this boat. God, please deliver me. Waiting all the time. How about Abraham and Sarah waiting for a baby? God promises them they're going to have a kid. 100 years. God, I thought you I'm going to get to it. Can't you be patient? I'm on year 100. Help me out. How about the Israelites in slavery? We're going to get you free. We're going to get you free. All right, it's been 4 years. God, you said you're going to get us free. It's been 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's been 100 years. It's been 430 years. We just went through our whole series on the Exodus, right? 430 years of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But maybe the biggest waiting period were the Jews waiting for their Messiah. Waiting. They were promised an ultimate deliverer. For centuries, waited thousands of years until the promise came true. And then it was really cool because around the time that they were expecting this all to take place, this guy came and he was like preaching about the good news of God and repentance. And he's baptizing so many people in the Jordan River that he gets a nickname, John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. And everyone starts talking, this is it. This is the Messiah. It's him. He came to preach. He's the first prophet we had in over 400 years. He's the Messiah. And what does John say? You still got to wait some more. I don't think it's going to be long, but you have to wait some more. John seemed like a great candidate, but he wasn't it. It wasn't him. And so what I want to talk about a little bit today is we prepare our hearts for Christmas, and a little bit later as we take the communion to remember Jesus, is to learn how to wait well. Amen. Waiting well. We're going to talk about waiting patiently, waiting honestly, and waiting expectantly. Just a couple of thoughts today. You guys appreciate a good waiter when you're at a restaurant, right? And many of us have served in the food industry and have served as servers, waiters. And, you know, you got to love an attentive, joyful, gets what you need on time kind of waiter. Don't you appreciate that? Especially when you're hungry and you're waiting and then they're waiting on you and then they bring you the food and you're like, I love you, and you give a bigger tip because you just are so grateful. Yep. But some of us have also had experiences with bad waiters, right? Yes. Of course, that was none of you that have worked in the food industry. You guys were all awesome. But every now and then you get someone who doesn't care about you. They don't care about your food. They don't care if they get the order right. They don't care if it comes in colds. They care more about what they're doing on their phone in the corner. You're like, can I get some water? In a minute. You been there? That can be frustrating, right? And so, you know, you get in a situation where, okay, I want to be that person who waits well. Who waits in the way that God would want me to wait. All right, let's get into it. Patiently, honestly, expectantly. Just very quickly, going to cover these three things. What does it mean to be a patient waiter? Well, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 25, it says, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. So we have a hope in something we don't have. That's the whole sort of definition of waiting patiently, is that you don't have it yet, right? And so you wait patiently for what you're going to get. Now, a lot of kids want Christmas to be today, right? Anyone wish Christmas was today? All right. A lot of people are saying yes. I want it to be now, not Tuesday. How many people want to open more gifts than just one today or tomorrow? You're like, normally we do one on Christmas Eve. I want to open more, right? We see it under the tree. We start getting excited. Like me, we can start to get a little self-focused. We start getting ideas. Well, my minister did that thing with the alarm clock. Do not do that. Do not do that. You will get the wrath. It did not work then. It won't work now. And so, in other words, what happens is that we start to try to control things for our advantage. All right, that's the opposite of waiting patiently. So the challenge for us is to have a patient Christmas. Wouldn't that be awesome? You come to the end of your holiday, go back to work, back to school, back to whatever you're doing, and you go, you know what? I really was patient this Christmas. It was really awesome. You know, I didn't get upset. I didn't try to control stuff outside of my control. I didn't let things bother me and get under my skin like I normally do. Wouldn't that be a good feeling? Yeah. Because there's too often we tell stories of the times on holidays that we lose it, right? So we want to be patient. Psalm 27 in verse 14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. You know, it takes courage to be patient. It takes courage to be patient. Some of us have been waiting a long time for certain things in our lives. Maybe you've been waiting a long time for a raise at your job. Maybe you've been waiting a long time for a really good grade in a particular class that you've been having a hard time with. Maybe you've been waiting for a long time for a spouse. Maybe you've been waiting a long time to be healed of something that you're going through physically. I'll tell you this, I think you're more brave and better every day that you wait, because it builds your character to be someone that waits with a godly attitude. We all gonna have to wait for things in our lives. Right. How much better are we as people when we wait with grace, wait patiently? That's the kind of spirit that we wanna have. And that's the kind of spirit that Jesus taught the disciples 2,000 years ago. We also want to wait honestly. What does that mean? Well, there's this passage in Psalm 119:81 in the New Living Translation that says, I am worn out waiting for your rescue. It says, but I have put my hope in your word. Amen. You ever felt worn out by something? Amen. Worn out waiting? This is an honest expression from the psalmist, right? Like, yeah, I'm waiting and I'm believing that God's going to work it out, but I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of waiting. Waiting stinks. Here's my contention here. I think it's okay to want things. I think it's okay to be worn out wanting it. And I think it's okay to share with people and with God. It's hard to wait. I think that's all right. The point here is to express it, to be open about it, to be honest. Because the other side of waiting honestly is waiting deceptively. where you don't admit that it's hard to wait and that you're hurting and that you need support. Those are the kinds of things that we can do here in the church community to be able to lean on each other and say, you know what? It's been really hard waiting for this job situation to work out. It's been really hard for me to be unemployed this long. It's been really hard for me to not find that best friend that I prayed for so many years ago. I need help. I need support. I want to be honest about my waiting. I can still want. I can still have the desires of my heart. And we check our motivation with God, say, God, make it true. Make it pure. But I want these things. I want it for good reason. It's okay. Amen. You know, for kids who are having a hard time waiting or maybe even paying attention, instead of complaining or getting a bad attitude, kids, you guys listening? Tell your parents this. I'm giving you permission to go to mom and dad. Mom and dad is really nervous right now. Okay, go to them and say, I don't like waiting. It's hard. Don't scream it. Don't just say it. Don't spray it. I don't like waiting. It's really hard. That's okay. You know why? Because we can have a conversation about that. So say it. And then parents, don't overreact. What? Again, just stop complaining. No, they said it in a calm way. Mm-hmm. They're both contingent on one another. Parents don't react, and then parents can say, I'm sorry you're having a hard time. And let's talk about what waiting is and the value of waiting and what waiting teaches us. I just laid something out for the parents and the kids. You guys ready for that conversation? All right, you're going to have to work on that. How it can be good for us to learn how to be patient and honest about how it's hard to wait sometimes. That's okay. Third thing, wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. What does that mean? It's okay to want things. It's okay to express those things. God knows the desires of our hearts, matters to him. Wait for it, and it's okay to want it. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Meaning, in other words, I believe I'm going to get it. I believe I'm going to get it. I'm asking with the right motives. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it's later. Maybe God's going to do something I'm not expecting or even more than I'm asking or imagining. But I believe that I'm going to be able to get it in one way, shape, or form. Now, I know that's hard because you get your hopes up. And then you get more easily disappointed when you get your hopes up. You ever been there? But that's life. Isn't that life? I went to a movie recently and I got my hopes up. And guess what happened? I wasted my money on that movie. And movies are expensive right now, unless you do the Tuesday AMC, $5, whatever. I'm not going to say. We all like different films. You ever been there? You ever got your hopes up? Oh, this is going to be awesome. You get great seats, you get the popcorn, and you're like, what? This is terrible. You're tempted to leave early and try to get your money back, but you're already there halfway and they won't. So you're like, I'm just hating having to finish this film now, knowing I wasted all this money. See, we put ourselves in a vulnerable, but that's just life. Right. Life, you get disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your alternative? You never get excited about a movie ever again? I'm guarding my heart. I don't know. I just don't want to be hurt again. I'm going to be hurt. I might go in feeling like it's going to be great and then I'm just going to be so disappointed. This is life. It's life. Yes, ask, expect. Also, I think we got to prepare ourselves to receive. Sometimes we ask for something, but we're not ready to get it, and that's why we don't get it. Some of us are not ready for those things that we're asking for. You know, we've been begging for something. Maybe sometimes we're begging for it with a bad attitude, so God hasn't given it. Instead, it's important to not just ask, but prepare your life, your heart, your mind, for if God gives it to you. I'll give you an example. You know, some of you pray that you win the lottery. Be careful. Are you preparing to be ready for that kind of spotlight, scrutiny, tax issues, financial? You're like, yeah, bring it. It's going to be great. I'm going to have so much. Guys, money corrupts the heart potentially. There's scriptures, multiple scriptures in the Bible about how if you start falling in love with that money, that cash, it could pull you away from your relationship with God and you're begging for it. Be careful what you ask for. You're calling me crazy now. What? Yeah, you got to be prepared for what you're going to get. You know, it's a good example to think about couples that are praying, God, help us to get pregnant. And then, you know, they get pregnant and they're like, yes, we're going to have a baby right now. And God's like, no, it's 9 months, silly. Like, you need to prepare. Your life's about to change. So he designed the body to have a long prep period to get ready. If God does that in physical form, we need to practice that spiritually, right? Preparing to be ready to get what he is going to give us. Other times we need to ask, but then let it go. Send it off. God's going to figure it out. Because the more you obsess about stuff, I feel like the worse the weight's going to be. You know, we have a limited pool of attentional resources. There's a certain amount of attention we can devote to certain things. And then when we reach that capacity, that's it. That's why our attention spans decrease, right? The brain can only handle so much. So if you focus on something other than the thing you could potentially obsess over, that will help the weight. Does that make sense? It's kind of like this. When I ran the marathon, I listened to my phone. I had my headphones in. I listened to music. I listened to speeches. I listened to podcasts. Why did I do that? Yeah, now some people, they love to, you know, hear the pounding of their feet, and that's great. They're in a different world than me. When I'm in pain, I don't want to think about it, all right? All right, I'll give you another example. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the airports have been moving the baggage claims farther and farther away from your gate that you arrive on. Did you not notice that? They've been sneakily doing it for years. It used to be that a little easier. I don't know if you remember, but it was like you come out and they position it so that it's close, but then you hurry up and wait. Now they're giving you a long walk. They'll zigzag sometimes. You don't realize they're doing it to you. You've done a circle. Before you get, you're like, I feel like I'm going in a circle. That's the way it's designed. Because by the time you get there, it's been a long walk. You haven't obsessed over the weight. Oh, look at that. The baggage claim is so efficient. I'm going to write online how awesome this airport is. No, silly, they tricked you. That's why marketing team gets paid. All right, so you guys got it. You got this idea. So in other words, if I'm having a hard time waiting, do something. Get active, right? Be productive. Focus on what you can control, not on what you can't. You know, the psychology of waiting, there was this article that came out by this Harvard professor. And one of the things that he said is this idea that engaging with people while waiting can be one of the best things you can do. Yes. And like if you're in a line and all you can do is just sit there and stew about how long the line is at Trader Joe's. I can't believe it wraps all the way around. Somebody talk to Ken Cabot to fix this for me. Although the line moves pretty quick because they've got like 30. And so you're like, okay, you're just stewing in your anger and your impatience. Or you turn around and say, hey, how you doing? I'm terrible. I hate waiting. Ah, me too. I hate waiting. Look, you got something in common. You can have a whole conversation. You start to engage. You start to look outward. You start to think about other people. It's a phenomenal concept. You know, what was Jesus' message? It's to love God and love people. Love God, to engage, to connect. What did he say when he was about to leave all the people that he had worked with for those 3 years? You know, he had died, he had raised, he came back, and in Acts 1, he's about to leave, and they were gonna have to wait for him. And he goes, wait for me. Wait for my gift that the Father has promised. Even when he was in the flesh here on the earth, Jesus said, there's gonna be more waiting. I want you to wait well, to think about others. One last little letter that I wanted to share with you. From young Ryan here. And Ryan says, Dear Santa, my mom said to send you a Christmas list, our Christmas list, and I wanted remote control car and a helicopter, but I don't want that anymore. Kids at school are picking on Amber, and it's not fair because she doesn't do anything to them, and it makes me mad, and I prayed that they will stop. But God is busy and needs your help. Is it against the rules to give a gift early? Can you ask Big Time Rush to come to Amber's birthday party? It will make her so happy. If you can't get them to come, but just get her everything she asked for. Thanks, Santa. Love, Ryan. P.S. My mom throws the best birthday party. If you, you can come if you want. This is Ryan and Amber. Ryan just really cared about Amber, and when he lifted his eyes off of his list and all the things he wanted, he thought about his friend that was in need, and he engaged that discussion, and he's a hero for us. This is real. And it makes me consider the ways that Jesus has taught us to wait well, to wait in such a way that honors God,
and is a good example for others. To be active even this holiday season, giving more than receiving. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 through 40, that these were commended, talking about all the ancient heroes of the faith. They were commended for their faith, but none of them received what had been promised. They weren't able to see all of the story come together. They lived and they died waiting. In verse 40, it says, since God had planned something even better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. We live in an incredible time where we can look back knowing that Jesus, the ultimate gift, has been given to us. We don't have to wait for him in that way anymore. Of course, we look forward to and we wait for him to come back. We don't know when that's going to happen. It could happen right now, before Christmas. We don't know, and we won't until it happens. But let's wait well. Let's wait in such a way that honors God. Let's wait patiently. Let's wait honestly. Let's wait expectantly. This time, let's bow our heads and pray for the communion. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful just to be able to live right now in this moment and know that you've given us so much. It must have been really hard to be in the desert all those years. It must have been hard to live in slavery those hundreds of years. It must have been hard to be a prophet preaching about the Messiah coming, but not being able to see Jesus come in the flesh. God, thank you that we don't have to go through that waiting period, but that we get to have you now, that you forgive us, that you've died for us, and that you've raised for us as well. God, help us to wait well this holiday season, not to be selfish and impatient, letting little things get underneath our skin, but rather, Father, give us extra strength to be patient, to be honest, but also to be expectant, to know that you do care for us and what we want matters to you. Help us to be like Ryan and to lift our eyes from our own little bubble and to think about those that are in need around us, to give, which is so much more blessed than to receive. Thank you for this time where we remember your son. Thank you for the bread, which represents his body, and the cup, which represents his blood. Thank you for the resurrection in this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.